means go. So, hey, here we go. All right. Is it live or is it Memorex? So, some of the older folks would know that one. The younger folks are, huh? Let's look at James chapter 5. Amen. And last week, I kind of ended here, and this is a good segue into moving forward tonight. We're not going to go super long tonight. Obviously, we don't have the cool kid stuff here, but amen, we're going to. And I was just quoting this scripture here just a moment ago. And we'll skip down to actually verse 15, but verse 16 is where I want to focus on and kind of springboard from there. But James chapter 5, verse 15 and 16, it says, "The prayer of faith shall what? Save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. If he's committed sins, they shall be forgiven him." Here we go, verse 16. "Confess your faults one to another." Now this is, we don't do that in the church today, do we? I mean, we don't like, hey, you know, I got this issue. No, we don't do that, right? And then, which, you know, I think, I'll just stop there a minute, but I think a lot of us don't, because a lot of people, let me just say this. You know, when the early church was so unique, that early church as opposed to where we're at now. I mean, those early church, they really mastered the love walk. You know, there was something special about the early church. And, you know, we see that people just, it wasn't really, well, we see in the book of Acts, they just gave their money away. They just sold land and made sure everybody's needs were met, right? It was just something where, so there must have been a camaraderie, a family sense that people trusted one another, right? That they could confide in one another. And nowadays, it's like, we're just too busy, we don't have relationships, so that's a whole other topic in and of itself. But confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. Here we go. "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." So, this kind of, how can I say, this statement right here, or in the word, it kind of gives me the implication that a righteous man can provide much power and much effectual prayer, right? Availeth much. Does anybody have that in a different translation? This is King James. They amplified. Well, we got time. Go ahead.
Verse 16.
Yes, please.
"Okay. Therefore, confess your sins to one another, your false steps, your offenses, and pray for one another that you may be healed and restored. The heartfelt and persistent prayer of a righteous man, a believer, can accomplish much. When put into action and made effective by God, it is dynamic and can have tremendous power."
Okay. So what's the key? I mean, we can have tremendous power, a lot of success, because if we're righteous, and what is righteousness? Righteousness really is in right standing with God, right? It's just someone that is in right standing with God. Did you know Noah was a righteous man in his day, right? He was in right, he wasn't born again. You know, people were, well, you know, he wasn't even saved. No, he wasn't. But at that time, what he knew and the amount of revelation that God gave him, he was walking in it. See, we got to understand the Bible is not just something that, you know, I mean, right when Cain killed Abel, or, you know, when Adam and Eve sinned, it wasn't like, oh, they didn't know anything. Right. God had to reveal himself to us throughout the centuries. And over time, God revealed himself. And then Jesus was the culmination of that. So the point is this, that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous person availeth much. So what does it mean to be righteous or to understand that? I mean, we're around a lot of religious folks where, you know, they're always, and there's nothing wrong with having people pray for you. I'm not saying that, but Adrian was in a Bible study here recently, and one of the ladies, there was a book that they were using, and they had mentioned something about, did you realize that this here says that you're supposed to believe that you receive it before you receive it. You're supposed to believe that you have it before you receive it. And they were like, oh, wow. We take these things for granted, right? But the normal denominational church doesn't think that way, right? They think, oh, we got to get, 1,000 people here to pray and all these people to agree and everything. And there is power of agreement and there are things like that. But there's oftentimes where we can go to God, and like this says here, it says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous crowd. No, it doesn't say that at all, does it? The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous prayer group. Well, that can do some good things, but person, individual, you. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. And then, now, again, a lot of these we've already talked about, but I think some of this stuff is really good to kind of go a little different direction. Ephesians 1:11, it says, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Now, inheritance is very important because, if you're going to inherit something, and I deal with this all the time, where it's yours. What are the things that if you have investments or anything, what's going to be your primary beneficiary, right? So if you have life insurance, your investments, anything that is any kind of anything like that, you're going to have a beneficiary. What that means is if something happens to that person and they die, everything that is within that policy, investment, whatever it is, it goes to that other person, okay? So it's theirs. It's already theirs. Guys, we've got an inheritance. What is a testament? And we have the Old Testament and the New Testament. The testament is it's a will, right? The old will and the new will. It's what God has given us, the things that he's left for us in inheritance. Verse 19, and what is exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power. Now, here we go. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly places. So what this means is this. Jesus had to take the payment to the right hand, to God the Father, and be seated at the right hand of the Father. Why? That is a consummation of what happened. Okay? At that point, we have an inheritance. It's ours. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in the world to come. The power, the name of Jesus, the authority that we have in that righteous, the fervent prayer that we have as a righteous person. Through that, we have more authority than any principality, any power, any might, any dominion, any sickness, any disease, any financial situation, no matter what it is, we have victory way above that. Any demon, anything that tries to come against us. Verse 22, and he's put all things under his feet. Well, guess what? If Jesus is the head, we are the body, right? So if it's under Jesus' feet, then it's under our feet if we're born again. And gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, which is you and I, the fullness of him that filleth on all. So we are the completion of Jesus, his body, right? He's the head and we're the body. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Ephesians 3:20 should just be in the next page there. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ever ask or think, according to what? The power that worketh in us. So there's got to be some power working in us, right? What's the power? It's the Holy Spirit working in us. Jude 20 says, but ye beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So if we're going to build ourselves up, how are we going to build ourselves up? Praying in the Holy Ghost, right? We're going to spend some time praying in the Holy Ghost. How many can imagine, like, $100, right? How many can imagine $1,000? Have you ever been to the Grand Canyon before? Anybody know that? That's a big hole. That's a big hole. Right? That's a big one. We were watching this. Now, this kind of blows your mind. I think we've got the DVD at home. This guy is talking about the size of just how big God is. Just again, you know, and I laugh at the people that says there's no God. I mean, I'm just like, when you look at DNA, you look at the human body, within each cell, there is like a network of mechanisms that's more complicated than New York City. I mean, it's just, that's one cell. And just how our sun, it was basically like, if the earth was the size of a golf ball, how big the sun is, I think it was like 900,000 Earths would fit inside of the sun. Then there's another star called Betelgeuse. Okay, it's another sun, the next one. Now, you gotta understand, like the sun is just one. It's just one star. There are billions of stars like the sun all over, right? But that's just the closest one for us. So the next one it's basically the size of 6 Empire State Buildings stacked on top of each other compared to the size of the Earth, which would be a golf ball. And you're saying there's no God. Like, well, I just can't believe God, you know, would be able to do that for me. Really? Like, he can't pay your water bill, but he makes a star that is like, you know, infinitely bigger than what the earth is, right? So again, it brings things into perspective that God is, and that's why the book of Psalms says, magnify the Lord. The God's not going to get any bigger. It's just we've got to get our little rubber band wrapped around him, how big and how great he is. James chapter 1, verse 2, King James here. And I think this is the reason why sometimes we're seeing and this isn't a fix-all. Again, this is not, you know, those ministers or those people, you know, you'll watch infomercials or something. This is the most important thing of this year, of your entire life existence. This is the whole key, you know. This little vitamin. No, probably not, right? You know, the pill's not that. No. This is one thing I believe that can hinder us. But verse 2 says, brethren, my count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience work her perfect work. Have a perfect work. Oh, patience, that's a terrible word. Boy. My kids don't like that word either. And kids don't like that either. That you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not, and that shall be given unto him. So here is what James is saying. He's like, all these good things are going to happen, and you can have all these things, and then it comes a culmination here at the end. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea that is driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. You know, over the years, I've seen the people that are the most messed up are the double-minded people. Especially in the denominational church, you have people. There was one guy that at the church that Adrian and I went to years ago, I don't even know where he's even at, him and his wife. And I mean, he'd be like, you know, in church and then, you know, be in church for 6 months and then he'd be gone. And then 3 months later, he'd come back, get resaved again and, you know, get refilled and have this big, you know, crying sob story, you know, testimony to the whole church. He's never going to do it again and blah, blah, blah. And then something would happen and then he'd start missing church. You know, just a cycle over and over and over and over again. And this might sound crazy, but you know, I mean, it's like anything else. I mean, if you're going to sin, sin. If you're going to live for God, live for God. If you're going to play the fence, you're not going to go anywhere. No, you're not going to go anywhere sinning anyway. I mean, that one's just a complete dead end for you. But the point is this, that the Bible's very specific. There in Revelations, he's like, the Lord says, you're either hot or you're either cold. This lukewarm stuff makes me sick, right? Either get on the saddle or get off. And when we're unstable all the time, what happens is then that we confuse ourselves, we deceive ourselves, right? Because we say, I've been around people, what's the worst thing that, you know, people want to see consistency, right? I mean, if they see people, they're partying, they're sinning and everything else, it's like, okay, well, he's consistent or she's consistent with that. You got somebody over here that, you know, that I've worked with before. I've had people before that I've worked with that they're, oh man, there's a Christian. They'll talk to you about Christian and everything else too. And then the next minute they're with somebody else at work talking about drinking and doing all kinds of junk and, you know, oh, this and that and using all kinds of language. What a kind of message are they sending? Not only to people around them, but they're saying, I'm unstable. And so, and people around us obviously pick on up and say, yeah, the guy's unstable. But we can't play both sides. And I think, too, hesitation, years ago when I played baseball, and this is the time, I would steal bases, okay? So that's when you can steal things, our bases, all right? So it's okay. So I stole a lot of bases, okay? It's okay to steal bases. The problem every time I'd run into trouble is when I hesitated. I doubted myself, and a couple times I got into trouble, right? I'd be leading off, and then one time I slipped in the mud, and I'm like, oh, I can make it, or I hesitated. That's when I got in trouble. See, when you hesitate, or you think about it, or, well, that's when you get in trouble, right? Well, should I steal it? Should I not? Well, should I, take this money? Should I not? Should I? If you got to think about it, you're already deceived, right? So I've always ran into trouble when I hesitate on the things that I know that are true. If I, playing sports, I know maybe kind of a corny example, but when I knew, okay, this is going to happen when he rocks back just slightly, that's when I'm going to turn and burn. I'm just going to go for it, right? And I'm waiting for his shoulders to break or his foot to break, and then I'm going. And I'm just going to do it. I was fine. But when I doubted myself and I started thinking, I don't know, that's when you get into trouble. I did a study here, and I've just read some things about this too, a lot of the books that I've read. Every successful person that I've ever met, or people that I work with, they make calculated decisions quickly, right? Why is that? Because they've already thought the process through. The people that I work with, whatever, usually once we get in talking about whatever direction, they'll say, that makes sense, let's do that. You know, the people that I deal with or anything else, when I get done talking and you can tell this person has no idea what to do, they need help, and when you're done, they say, I don't know, let me think about it. I don't know, let me call you back 2 weeks from now. They never do. They can't make decisions. You know, they're unstable all the time. Yeah, let's do it. Let's talk about it. Let's move on. Well, I don't know. Every successful person is going to make. Now, it doesn't mean that you don't spend time praying about it. I'm not saying that you have to make an instant decision every time. But what I'm saying is this. If you prayed about it, you have an inward witness about it, you know it's the word of God, you're not in any sin or anything like that. I've gotten in trouble myself by thinking things, analysis paralysis, right? You get into it, you overthink things. Wait a minute here. It's not. Every time that I have the Holy Spirit lead me and guide me, it's an easy decision. I just walk right in. I feel good when I do it. It's like I prayed about it, I have peace about it, right? And when I have peace about it and I make double I'm double-minded, right? Because I have peace about it. The Holy Spirit leads me through peace, right? And so, and again, there is something to be said about waiting on the Lord, you know, having an inward witness and good godly counsel. But again, many people aren't there. They're into, well, I don't know. That's where you get into deception if you know it's His will. I like the New Living Translation here. It says, verse 2, it says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy." Oh my goodness. This is not, that message would not sell very well, would it? Right?
No.
It's not going to be on the New York Times bestsellers list anytime soon. You know, how to have fun while you're going through a lot of junk. No. Verse 3, "For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow." You know, I've been getting into more like working out, doing things. And you know what? I don't like using this word, but I hate it in the process. You know, it's like, oh gosh. You know, halfway through, I'm like, I want to stop. But it's like, I'll go on these time things and I know I got 15 minutes left. You know, my body's saying, stop right now. I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore, right? But the clock is ticking. You know, it's like, I got 15 more minutes to go. I got to keep doing this, right? Why? Because I'm the type of person who's like, I am going to finish this and I'm going to do it. And I'm going to get through it. And blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to say I'm a quitter, right? Because then, and this is stupid, I know, but, and you're all probably different than me, but the whole day, if I left and I had 10 minutes left or 5 minutes left, I'd be going like, how come I quit 10 minutes early? That kind of stuff bugs me, you know? It's like, I need to finish it. Got to get it done. And that day, then when I'm all done, I'm like, yes, I feel like Rocky, you know? It's like, dun, 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 yeah. I just feel great, you know? It's not because but it's just like, I finished it. And I decided when I start it, I'm finishing it. Because even at home, like, Daddy, we need you. No, I got 10 more minutes because here's what happens. I'll get busy and it ain't going to happen, right? I've committed to it and I'm going to finish it. And during the whole time, I'm like, why did I do this to myself? I hate myself. I hate this. But the whole time, I know at the end of it, it's going to be, right? So, but again, it's when you get into those things where you make a commitment. The Bible says, when you make a decision, swear to your own hurt, you know, and change it not. So, and that goes back with double-mindedness. You especially see kids, you know, and it's especially young kids and kids that are influenced by friends and everything else too. They'll turn, you know, oh, this person's this or that, or, you know, well, I'm not your friend anymore one day, and the next day they're the best friends, and it's just, you know, that's immaturity, isn't it? Immaturity does that. Kids do that. Verse 4 again, so let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. You're going to be mature. Verse 5, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and He will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking, but when you ask Him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Here's where I think the world, you know, the church and the world, we're in two different camps here. One of the things that drives us on a bonkers in the denomination that we're around a lot is everything is God's will, you know? You know, well, if that's happened, it must be God's will. Well, you know, that person died of drugs, it must have been God's will. No, was it God's will that the person died of a drug overdose, right? And so we get in two different camps where the world system is all about, I'm going to figure it out myself and all my self-help programs, and I'm going to do it myself, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this. And then some of the religious folks get into the other ditch over here. Well, if everything's God's will, well, it must not have been God's will for him to be saved or her to be saved, or must not have been God's will for them to be healed because they died of this disease or blah, 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 or whatever. We got to come to the middle, don't we? We got to say, I'm going to do my part and God's going to do his part. I can't heal anybody. That's God's job. But then on the other hand, I can't sit on the couch eating ho-hos and ding-dongs and expect God to do everything for me. And it's like, okay, right? Faith without what? Corresponding action is dead. So we've got to do our part, right? Jesus didn't sit back with a remote control, go, okay, you disciples do everything. I'm going to sit over here and do nothing now. No, Jesus relied on the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit led him to do things, and he walked them out. And so again, but he relied on his Father to do things. But he was, and it's just like Acts chapter 2, verse 4, when they were speaking in tongues, it says that the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. And that's key. Too many people don't understand that. It's like we still speak with our tongue, but the Holy Spirit gives us the utterance, but we do the action behind it. If you need wisdom, ask generously. Again, we just read that, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking, but when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Again, we're not going to take any glory for it or anything else. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. This is the problem where many of the Old Testament prophets got in. Why? Because you see Isaiah, you see people that prophesied things they never came to pass in their lifetime, and what they do? They wanted to kill them. But they did come to pass. Isaiah wrote a lot of things about Jesus. And he did come to pass. And obviously Jesus was here, right? We see over and over and over and over again where these prophets in their time period were not respected, were not revered, right? We see Samuel, the prophet, came to David and said, you're going to be the next king. You are the king right now. God has anointed you to be king. He's this young kid, and he takes the oil and dumps it on his head. He anoints him with oil. Was David king at that time? In God's eyes, yes. Was he physically reigning over Israel at the time? No, he was not. Was Samuel a crackpot? No. Again, Samuel did, nowadays everybody's like, oh, you're a false prophet, you're a false prophet, you missed it. See, not wavering often sometimes is the prayers or the things that the Lord has spoke to you or done things, they don't happen immediately. You got an opportunity to waver, don't you? Well, that must not have been God's will. Why? Because it's in your time, right? It's when you think it should be done. It's when you think it should happen. It's when, no, everything, this should be, no. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do. Everything that they do. Here's a few things for you too. What about people that are chasing every prophecy, right? Every wind of doctrine, we see that. You get bored with something. I mean, everybody, well, I like this message. You know how many times where there's certain preachers on TV, we have people close to us that have been talking about, well, I like this person because it makes me feel good. Well, ice cream makes me feel good too, right? Right? Exactly. So, I mean, it doesn't matter what, I go massage parlor and feel real good when I walk out, go get ice cream. I mean, there's all kinds of things that can make us feel good, right? But it's not about feeling good. It's about God's not interested in our condition or in our comfort, but our condition. And so, or another thing is people will get bored with a message, right? So many people, word of faith, it's like, oh, that's not the coolest thing anymore, or this or that, or and I think that there are things that we can see in addition to the word of faith that helps us maybe understand some things, right? There are other really good communicators out there. But, I still hold truth to Brother Hagin's teachings because it's word. Right? And this is something too where, and this just comes with maturity, when I was really young, the charismatic renewal was beginning to die. Okay? It was beginning to end its course. So I saw a little bit of that in the churches when I was really young. But what happened, and I personally know people that even as of oh, this has been 10 or 15 years ago, or maybe even longer, or maybe about 10 or 15, I don't remember, maybe it's been longer than that. But sidetrack one thing, during that time period, the emphasis was on the move of the Spirit, but the Word was taking a second place. It was taking a back seat. So people were more interested in the experiences, and there's nothing wrong with that. But they were doing things like, you know, getting together, and they thought everybody had a devil, and these people would throw up in buckets. Okay, that's not biblical, right? Just weird things like that. They would, you know, get over into things that are not biblical as far as the spiritual realm, and they would be, you know, entertaining, you know, familiar spirits and things like that. Well, Brother Hagin, during that time period, see, that's the reason why the Word of Faith movement came in the first place, is to help bring us back to some balance. Not to get rid of the move of the Spirit, but to help bring some Word back to it to help keep us on track. And then what happens is, I mean, I even knew people from our old hometown that they have these meetings and everybody's throwing up in buckets. I mean, it's like, how do you promote that? I want to know that. You know, and how do you say that? Hey, guys, guess what we're going to do? We're going to have some steaks tonight later, and we're going to have eat, and then we're going to all throw up in buckets. Does that sound great? You know? I mean, how do you, who wants to come to that? You know, it's like, I got this thing I got going on sometime tonight-ish. But that's what happens is, again, we're unstable in art of our ways. And here's the key, though. These people that we knew were in our church and began, and they were very well taught under the church, and they still went out and held meetings of bucket barfing, okay? So it's really weird sometimes, but that's the point. When you know the truth, but then you get deceived, right? Now, it doesn't mean that just because you know something now that you can't grow and develop into other things. We're seeing that, amen? Because we still want to see more of the move of the Spirit. We're definitely not against that, but things that are against the Word, amen? And that's how you deceive, that's how you become very, how can I, and I've seen people where, well, this is a close here, when Adrian and I moved back to Iowa, we saw, I met a guy there. I was a manager at this grocery store, and he was night stock manager, and his mom was actually, this is really strange, we got to talking, I've told the story before, but anyway, long story short, his mother was in the charter class of Rhema. The very first year Rhema came was like 1974, 1975, that year was the first charter class. She was in that charter class. Then I ask, well, what is she doing now? Oh, well, she's into New Ageism, right? So, and you hear the stories of, you know, of Doc when he taught and Brother Hagin and all of these amazing teachers that taught there. The stories that I've heard from, you know, Doug Jones was an instructor at Rhema. He was in the charter class, he told. When I was there, he was telling us stories. Mark Brzee was also, you know, we went through School of Demonic to tell amazing stories. Go from that, where God is doing so many amazing things, and then over into New Ageism and spiritualism or spiritology. That is completely off the rails, unstable in every way. And the sad thing is, the things that you had before are now lost. And you've just thrown those things away. And you spit in the face of the Lord because of instability. So she got super intellectual, went and got her doctorate degree at something, at, you know, Iowa State, and then went off the deep end with some religious stuff. But again, it can happen to all of us. And that's the problem where, that's why we meditate in the Word, is because we need to know, hey, this could happen to me if I let my guard down. And I don't ever want to let my guard down. I get nervous around those people. But, oh, that would never happen to me. I would never do that. Don't ever say that. You need to guard yourself. Amen? Because deception. Because what you're saying is, I'm above any kind of temptation. I'm above any of this stuff, right? Now, maybe you don't deal with certain things. Maybe other people do, or whatever. But I would just, you know, when I look back, and there was a Bible college that we, Adrian and I went to in our old church in Oskaloosa. It was there, and there's so many people at that time was like, man, we're going to do ministry and everything else too. There's only, and there was, I don't know how many people. There's only Adrian and I and one other couple that are seriously serving God. They pastor a church in Atoma, and that's it, right? Friends of ours went to Rhema, and they don't even go to church now. We have, you know, people that are, you know, massive personal problems and all kinds of other things. They're not even serving God or into massive sin. So the point is this, it's not a sprint, it's a long distance run. And that's where we see there, excuse me, in Hebrews. Praise God. Even if you come for a nap, it's okay, buddy. It's okay, buddy. Hebrews 12, 1, it says, wherefore, seeing we are encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that is so easily beset us, right? And let us run with patience. This isn't a quick sprint, is it? It's with patience, the race that is set before us. Not our race, but the race that's set before us. And looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen? So, so we have tremendous power under the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous person availeth much. If we would just wrap our head around how much power we have as a righteous person, as someone who is right standing with God, instead of backing down, insecure, I don't want to go right now, but I can't wait to get to heaven someday. I want to see the throne. You know, I'm not going to cower down from God. I'm going to be like, I am there. I want to get to the throne. I want to be around Daddy. I want to be around Jesus. I want to be around, you know, when once this all things done and the Holy Spirit's back in heaven with the Father and Jesus, you know, I want to be around people. I want to be around the things of God. Amen? That's what I want to be. I don't want to cower down from God. I want to know more about God. I want to know Him. I want to rely more on Him. But because of His power and His anointing that works in us as believers, we can pray out many things and have great power. And the devil and the world and the flesh are trying to beat you down and say, guess again. It's not. No. Father, we thank You for this time tonight, Lord Jesus. We thank You that You, Your power, Your anointing, Your love, Your grace, Your ability, Your guidance, Your joy, that we can do all things through You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Doesn't matter what the world says, people say, religious folks, our faith is in You. Amen? And You are a good God, and You want good things for us. And You are a God full of love and compassion and mercy. You are a God of love and compassion and mercy in the Old Testament, and You are now in this grace, time of grace, Lord. We thank You for it, Father. And I pray for all of us here in the name of Jesus that our needs are met, Lord God. And we thank You, Lord, that You're able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ever ask or think according to the power that works in us, Lord. We give You glory and honor. We thank You for it in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Well, have a great week. We will see you here next week. Amen.